You see on the screen that our Old Testament reading is Jeremiah chapter 2. We're not going to read it, just in the interest of time, knowing that time marches on and we have a full communion table ready for us. The message this morning will focus on the gospel reading, which is Luke chapter 14. So if you can make that adjustment in the balcony, I'd appreciate it. All right, thanks. Let's give ear to the word of the Lord. And it happened that when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, they were watching him closely. And he began speaking a parable to the invited guests. When he noticed that they had been picking out the places of honor at the table, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this man.' And then in disgrace, you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you are invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And now as we give ourselves to this study, let's open our hearts to him. Lord, we've already confessed that we like the seats of honor. And as we read this passage of Scripture, well, it can get a little uncomfortable for us at times. We know that even in that discomfort, though, you mean life for us. And life for those whose lives we touch. So we invite your Holy Spirit to be the one who brings this word home to each of us and to all of us together. Speak to us, Lord, for we are your children and we want to know what you have for us. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. On Tuesday, our daughter turns 40. And this evening, now this picture that you see was just from a few years ago. And of course, that's taken, you can hardly see it, but that's in the parsonage. And she was, we sang happy birthday to her, and we'll do it again tonight. We'll be gathering at her home in Vineland to celebrate. And I can pretty much predict who's going to be there. Extended family, pretty much. And I can also predict some people that will not be there. None of you will be there. At least I don't think you will. I predict that. Nobody that we already know, that we don't already know, will be there. Nobody who has slept in the park last night or under a bridge will be at our daughter's birthday celebration. I wonder what Jesus would think of that. 12 years ago, I spent 2 weeks in Rwanda. I was preaching, and I was learning, and I was connecting with the people of that war-torn tribal war-torn nation. On our last night in Rwanda, and by the way, Rwanda is beautiful. It's a gorgeous place. I mean, you can just get a feel. It's called the Land of a Thousand Hills. And the temperature never goes below 60 or above 80, except on rare occasion. And there's low humidity. I mean, it's like, so who needs to go to Hawaii, right? You just go to Rwanda. But Rwanda has other problems, and we know that. And even though it's been many years since the genocide, there's still animosity between the tribes. We were there to learn and to grow and to encourage. On our last night in Rwanda, we were invited by the governor of the prefecture of Butare, which is the second largest prefecture as far as population. It's the seat of the National University and the National Museum. The seat of the Roman Catholic Church is there. So it was the seat of the Baptist group to which we were relating. So they had been watching the whole time that we were there. And he told us that. We have been watching you. You know, you can't go into a nation that has such close relationships, even though they struggle a lot. They're always watching. And they said, the governor said to us, "We like what we have seen in you. You seem to genuinely care for the people." We were guests, and we were in the presence of dignitaries that night. The police commissioner was there. The minister of economics was there. The chief of staff of the university hospital was there. And of course, the governor himself. Upon arrival, we were each greeted in the traditional Rwandan greeting, which meant you hug once, you hug on the neck, on the other side again, and then you shake hands. And you went through that. You went through that with all of us. I looked around at the people, and I thought, well-dressed, well-groomed, very different than many of the people that I had seen throughout our stay there. The opening speech was delivered by the governor, and Roy Medley, who was our general secretary and at that time was the executive minister of the Baptist churches here in New Jersey, was asked to say grace. The buffet table was one of the best that we'd seen in our sojourn in Rwanda. There was beef, chicken, fish, curried rice, seasoned vegetables, cheese, mashed potatoes, and sweet potatoes too. Peas and carrots and cooked greens, pastas and salads, soft drinks, beer, and fruit for dessert. Now, that's not the normal Rwandan fare. Normal Rwandan fare is beans and rice. A sweet potato usually dominates the dish, and cooked cabbage. They might have goat or chicken once a week or less. We had a lot of meat the entire time we were there because we were honored guests. Now, if you look around, there are not many pets. When Jesus was invited to dinner at the Pharisees' home, they were watching him very closely. That's what verse 1 says. He went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread. And they were watching him closely. They were keeping an eye on him. They knew that he had done some things that were not kosher. And they were watching very carefully. They really wanted Jesus to cooperate in preserving the traditions that they had observed. But they lacked true justice. And it really got under Jesus' skin. You see, true justice has to do with genuinely caring for people, not just how everything looks. And so, Jesus told them some banquet stories. In verse 8, we read this. When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. For someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this man. And then in disgrace, you proceed to occupy the last place. Be careful where you sit. Remain humble. That's not easy for us. Especially if we're jockeying for position. And there's a lot of that that happens. Even in the church at times, right? But especially out there. We want to be in line first. And we talk about people that butt up. She butt up. Be careful where you sit. Remain humble. Be the servant, is the plea of Jesus. And another thing that he says is be careful about who you invite. In verse 12, it says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they're going to be obliged to invite you in return, and you've got the reward that you were looking for. I mean, when you invite somebody and you invite them and you invite them and they never invite you to their house, don't you say, something's wrong here. But if you really care about those people, it doesn't matter if they reciprocate or not. You just love to be with them. That's the heart of Jesus. But he says, be careful. Be careful about who you invite. When you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. He says, and then you'll be blessed. Because they don't have the means to repay you. But you're going to get yours. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And that day when everything is put in order, we'll hear from our Lord, well done. I saw what you did. I saw that you cared for people and weren't just putting on a show. When I was sitting at the table with the governor in Rwanda, I was acutely aware of who was not there. Much of the week, I'd been surrounded by shoeless children clad in well-used t-shirts and sweatshirts. I saw the head of staff of a Christian school, a young man whose collar was so frayed, but he wore a tie, and he carried himself with dignity. It's not about the clothes. Arriving at the Petare Church, the children squealed with excitement when we got out of the van. Bonjour, thinking that we probably were speaking French because that was the common language. And then when we greeted them in return, Morajo, they said, he speaks a little of our language. Hands were reaching out to touch. Eyes were bright with hope. I cannot forget. They just wanted to be around us. There were three people that stood out for me. I mean, there were many that I met, but three people that stood out for me in the time that I was there. One was a 21-year-old young man. His name was Janvier, which means January. He was born in January. He was one of my translators. His father had died a few years before in an auto accident. And when I asked him about his dreams, he said, "I want to go to university to become a pastor." He has worshiped with us at Seaview last summer, 2 summers ago. He was here. And we were praying for his mother. And when she died, they didn't have the money to do a funeral. We helped. I said to him, "I will not forget you." And as a result of my remembering, and I'm not bragging, I'm just saying that God used me this way, I went back to the church that I was serving, and we found the money, and we put him through university. He is now a university professor as well as a pastor in Tanzania. And he's serving the Lord. He named his firstborn Frank. I wonder. I mean, I'm talk about being humbled. I was really humbled by that. And then there's Remy. Remy has also worshipped with us. As a matter of fact, his sister worshipped with us 2 weeks ago. Remy is a young man whose father was imprisoned for 4 years after the war. Falsely accused, he was just thrown in prison. When no hearing, almost died several times, but he was faithful while he was there in prison. He hid during the genocide. He was Hutu. And I think of Remy. Remy could very easily have been killed. It's hard for me to imagine this brilliant young man being killed. When I left, I asked him, "What is the word for brother in Kinyarwanda?" He said, "Muvandimwe." He has become Muvandimwe. Muvandimwe to me and I to him. And we still, when we greet one another, that's how we greet one another. I said, "I will not forget you." You can bet I didn't forget him, because a few years later, he showed up on our doorstep and he lived with us for a year. He's now a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania Law School and working in Philadelphia. Just amazing. I said, "I will not forget you." And then there's Sophie. Sophie is the one who haunts me. A young woman who came to the Batari Church. Her father had been killed in an accident. There were 8 hungry children at home. I didn't know what to do. I prayed with her. I counseled with others. You can't do it all. But I looked into Sophie's eyes and I said to her, "I will not forget you." And I can still see those eyes. Other than praying for her, that's all I've done. And I wonder, have I fallen down on my promise? But I still remember. And I still have been involved. I tried many, many ways to help. These 3 people were not at table that night. Jesus gives us a kingdom etiquette that's not like the etiquette of the world. Remember what he said in verse 12? He says this to the person who had invited him. "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." That's kingdom etiquette. Kingdom etiquette says, think about the people who are in need. We don't throw the parties just for us, do we? We're called to throw kingdom parties. And that's where we are this morning. This is a kingdom party. At Jesus' table, everyone's welcome. You have a standing invitation at the table of Jesus. Everybody does. You are the ones who are invited. We share at this table. We don't come to the table with a lapse of memory. Here we remember Jesus. We remember his body. We remember the children, the homeless, the poor. They're all invited. The rich young ruler's invited too. Everybody's invited to this table. We need also to be careful that we don't think that those of us who have the world's goods are the patrons. Those who come to us are also gifted, and they have much to offer. While I was in Rwanda, I went to an out-of-the-way place called Ruhuha. Ruhuha is a four-hour drive from the capital city of Kigali. If the road were paved, we could probably get there in an hour, but it wasn't paved. We traveled that dirt road. We passed grass huts. There was no electricity, and we arrived at 12:30 in the afternoon on Tuesday, having left Bitari at 7 o'clock in the morning. The church was full. 12:30 Tuesday afternoon. The church was full. They were singing. There were 700 to 800 people in that church building. And talking with the pastor, he told me of the 22 choirs that they have, the 561 widows as a result of the genocide. Their Sunday school had 1,000 people in it. They're not a hopeless people. They have the bread of life. Jesus asked, "Why do you seek for that which is not bread? Why do you want all this other stuff when you can have life? When you can share yourself with other people, that's true kingdom justice." Jesus says, come to the table. Come to my table. Everybody who desires to eat, come to my table. Here we share the riches of the kingdom, the riches that can never be taken away from us. For once we have a relationship that's been solidified by the love of Jesus that moves between us, that can never be taken away. Once we have this relationship with Jesus, that never shrinks. It never fades, because it's not about us keeping it up. He'll keep it up. You say, well, I've wandered away. Jesus hasn't wandered anyplace. His Holy Spirit continues to work with us. He says, come. Come to the table. Last year at our 150th anniversary luncheon, we had guests from all over. We had former pastors. Kurt and Barbara Frank came from California. Jim and Hazel Oldham came from North Dakota. Paul and Dee Aiello came from Pennsylvania. Lee Spitzer came from New Jersey. Ned Flexer came from New Jersey. Some of the people who came were former Sunday school teachers, board members, people that were now scattered in different places. But amongst all the people that were gathered at that luncheon, there was a homeless man. He had come to our church about a month and a half before, and he was living in the woods behind the church. Some folks in our church took him in for several days, prayed with him, talked like a Dutch uncle and aunt to him, helped him out. And when it came time for us to have the banquet, we invited him to come to the table. He wanted to be there. And I looked at that and I said, yes, Seaview, that's good stuff. We didn't say, well, you know, he can't afford it. Doesn't matter whether he could afford it or not. We could. That is indicative of a church that has its face set towards the kingdom. That's good stuff. So, you know, this table where we celebrate today is a table for everyone. Rwandan, American, Filipino or Filipina, Colombian or Haitian, color, economics, politics, it's all irrelevant. Because everyone is invited. Let's pray. Lord, we know that you've invited everyone. We hear that loud and clear. And we know, Lord, that you want to do some work in our hearts. Perhaps open us up to the people that we need to befriend. Stretch us, Lord, and grow us. We thank you for the accomplishments that we've been able to come to thus far as a church. But we know we still have far to go on the journey. We give ourselves to you again, that you might use us. Thank you for welcoming us. In Jesus' name, amen.